Creativity is not just for artists and other people in the creative professions. A little creativity can go a long way in communicating an idea or solving a problem in any workplace. People who study and teach creativity will gather this weekend for the first ever Creativity Conference at Southern Oregon University. It brings in some big names, including some that are difficult to pronounce. We'll explain that as we explore the topics and teachers at the conference Friday through Monday at SOU in Ashland. Daniel Denai is a psychology professor at Southern Oregon University and the director of the Division of Social Sciences. And our guest on The Exchange. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So where did the idea for the conference come from?
We started kind of planning. There's a gentleman that is helping out with the conference, Dr. Mark Runko, and he was formerly from the University of Georgia, and he is a very well-known creativity researcher, internationally known. And through a friend of a friend, found out that he was interested in moving to Oregon, and he inquired about the possibility of doing some work here at SOU. So I've been working with him for a number of years, and we're working on building something a little bigger, you know, that fits in with our strategic plan at the university. But for now, what we're doing is taking sort of a baby step, if you can call an international conference with over 250 people a baby step. So that's kind of how we got the idea rolling.
Well, I noticed that Mark Runko, who you just mentioned, has devised tests that measure creativity potential and performance. And I guess it probably would help if we step back a bit and even talk about the kind of creativity we're talking about here, because we're not talking about just people who can paint or play the piano, right?
Right. Yeah. And that's thanks for asking that. The conference itself is organized around creativity research, and creativity research is still a rather new field. It came out of psychology mainly, but it's not limited to that. We have many researchers from different fields, business, education. Obviously, there's wide appeal to the creative artists. But Dr. Runko is a psychologist, and when he first started, a lot of the research was coming out of intelligence research, trying to you know, looking at it as an offshoot of specific types of intelligence. And that's where he really, you know, started looking at how you can measure creativity, different types of creativity, and that's kind of how, you know, the work that he did at the University of Georgia. There's the Torrance Center for Creativity at the University of Georgia, also big in creativity testing as well, and they had some of the original creativity tests, and Dr. Runko's are updated, he's still very active in creativity research. He does a lot of consulting all over the world.
I noticed too that he founded the Creativity Research Journal and also the Journal of Business Creativity. So that alone, the idea of business creativity tells me that it is more than just the, you know, the creative skills.
Yeah, and it's become I don't want to say recently, because I think it's been around for quite some time, but it increasingly. Business leaders across the world have recognized the importance of creativity, infusing that throughout their organizations, finding creative individuals. And so Dr. Runko does a lot of work with those types of businesses. One of the presentations we have is from Lego. He does a lot of consulting for Lego, looking at, you know, how you can find creative talent, how you can infuse creativity into their workspace. He's done work for Disney and things like that. So, you know, there's some obvious organizations that would have an interest, but I think even for those where it's not so obvious, it's valuable to have creative and innovative thinkers on board to help, you know, build product development. And I think that applies locally as well.
So Mark Runko works with Lego too?
Mm-hmm.
Because I noticed
yes.
that Ronald Baghetto, who will be joining us Thursday at 8:30, also coming to the conference, also does some consulting work for Lego.
Right. And Mark and Ron are, I don't know if they work together, but they know one another well. And that's why Dr. Baghetto is an invited speaker at the conference.
Daniel Denai, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the organizer for Southern Oregon University's first creativity conference coming up this week. And he's the director of the Division of Social Sciences. And you can call into the program or send emails, 800-838-3760, to visit about the Creative Conference. You can also send to jx@jeffnet.org. So primarily, is this for people who are trying to hire creative people, people trying to teach creative people and figure out how to guide them, or is it for anybody, really?
I think it's the latter. I think it's for anybody. As I mentioned, it is an academic conference. Many of the researchers are affiliated with universities. I'd say the majority of them come from psychology programs, but we have a fair number of researchers that work in business programs. They work in education programs, communication. We have folks that are directly connected to the creative arts. And I think if folks scroll through the addresses, they'll find there's something for everyone. There are hands-on workshops. If people are wanting tips and strategies for how to build creative environments or to look for creative talent, to measure creativity either in individuals or in the workspace, there's a lot there. And even the presentations that are pretty academic, for lack of a better term, I think are fairly accessible to most individuals. And we have a lot of what we're calling boom talks, which are 15-minute kind of short TED-type talks that we're doing throughout each of the days. And then, of course, there are the keynote addresses, which will, I think, have a very broad appeal.
When you talk about measuring creativity, it gets me back to the very central question, I would think, which is, can people be taught creativity? Does it have to come totally from within, or can it be? Can you put things in that container?
Well, I'll give you my own personal take on that. And having dabbled not nearly as much as Dr. Runco, but dabbled in personality research, I think the debate still sort of rages about whether or not you can teach people to be creative. It sort of goes back to that, are you born creative or can you learn creativity? I tend to land on the latter, that you can learn it. But what I do know is that you can certainly create environments that make it more likely to happen. And certainly I think that it depends on how you define creativity. I think everybody's creative in some way. It's just a matter of expanding the traditional definition of creativity to unlock that. I think most people are creative. They just don't understand they're being creative.
I find myself thinking as we go further into the discussion, though, that this is a real advantage that we have in an age of AI, and we seem to be talking about AI more and more, and jobs that can be done that are currently done by people. I even think about my own. Why couldn't a smart machine ask the same questions I'm asking and not say and ah half the time, So, I mean, is creativity where humans really have the edge? I mean, is this a real reason to pursue creativity research?
Yeah, I read an article recently that made that exact point that, at some point automation will take over many of the jobs that we think of, many of them, creative in nature, like your own. This is the advantage, at least for now. We don't have AI that's, truly creative. We're getting close to that. And there are certainly examples that we can pull out where people, where people have developed machines or AI that they will say they're doing creative things. But for the most part, we're not there yet, and we still have that advantage.
So far.
Oh, yes, over our artificial partners.
So we mentioned a couple of the people on the list who are coming. One of the bigger names is Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, who how do you explain on radio how to spell this name? And have you ever spelled it correctly on the first try?
I feel a certain affinity. It's a lot. Well, his has lots of consonants and a few vowels. Mine's the opposite. Right. Yeah, he's a Hungarian-born researcher, which explains the odd name. He implores people to call him Mike, so I think we'll have an advantage at the conference. We won't have to say the full name. But you did very well with the pronunciation.
A previous author had put in her book that, I think Csikszentmihalyi is the way to say it. So it works. Mihai Csikszentmihalyi. And he pioneered the concept of flow. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes.
As applied how in creativity?
I think what he's looking at is the state of flow is an optimal state to produce a creativity. The other way to think of that is in his original research, he looked at many artists and athletes and dancers and found those were sort of his initial test subjects, and found that when they were in the creative process or the performance process, that's when they would describe the elements that then became the foundation for his flow theory. I think that was kind of the original entry for him into the world of creativity research, looking at those flow states as optimal for those people who are performing or in the creative arts. Anyone that's ever, you know, and I think most everybody can think of an example of when they've, you know, without going into the details of what flow is really, you know, you can think of an example of where you've, you know, sort of been doing something, got so lost in it that you sort of lost track of time and it felt like things just flowed was the language that most of the people that he interviewed used. And maybe that results in nothing more than a peak run down a ski hill, you know, which then later leads to creative, you know, it unlocks creative potential. But for the performers and the artists that he interviewed, those were the types of experiences that they had, and that's how they described it when they were in the act of performing.
So I can see how this would be useful to other people as well. I mean, if you're trying to get really good at something, and it doesn't necessarily have to involve skiing, piano playing, ballet, anything, that you can apply the principles of flow theory.
Absolutely, yeah. And I like the example of my own, and this will date me, but being in the dark room, you know, developing film was such a pleasurable experience. Exactly. And time would just sort of slip away and, you know, it'd come out, you know, 5-6 hours later with not great photographs. But for me, it was a very pleasurable experience. And I think, you know, part of unlocking creativity.
I've had the same experience, honestly, where you finally remove all the baffles from the windows and realize, oh, my God, it's light outside.
That's right.
We've gone through the night. Dan Denai is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the director of the Division of Social Sciences at Southern Oregon University and the organizer for the first Creativity Conference coming up this weekend at SOU. Join the conversation. Ask questions about the people who are coming and the concepts that will be portrayed. 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about some of the other people here. Dr. Michael Mumford.
Yeah, Dr. Michael Mumford is from University of Oklahoma, and this is again one of the individuals that works quite frequently with Dr. Runco, and he's the one that has the networks for these individuals. I'm struggling to find where we've got Dr. Mumford scheduled.
Institutes for Research, he's a senior research fellow, fellow of the American Psychology Association, Society for Industrial Organizational Psychology. So it sounds like a lot of the creativity stuff is certainly really popular in the business world right now to get people to just be better at what they do.
Yeah, it really is. And again, that I think is one of the demands from the industry. You know, and so that then filters down to the academic world, and these people that do the consulting, you know, bring that back, and that kind of drives the research agenda as well. You know, in no small surprise, these are the folks that are on the cutting edge and able to kind of step out and innovate a little bit. You know, one of one of our keynote addresses, Robert Sternberg from Cornell. It's sort of interesting because he's presenting on his talk is Save the World. We don't just need smarter, even more creative kids. We need wiser ones too, which is a long title, but it's very interesting because he makes the point that creativity can be used, to put it simply, for good or evil. And there are a lot of people that are doing very creative things that aren't necessarily for the betterment of our society or for our world. And so he says, along with that, we can't just look at creativity in isolation. We have to look at then also, you know, making sure that we're using it for good, making sure that it doesn't just impact one specific, you know, segment of our society. And I think that's a fascinating take on, because we don't often think about creativity being used for evil.
My first take was politics, but then I moved quickly onto computer hacking. These are people who can be geniuses at working with the machinery and understanding the workings of something that is alien to a lot of other people, and yet can also be used for really nefarious purposes to steal your credit card info and your identity and lots of other stuff.
Right. Yeah. And I was thinking immediately of the recent article I read about the Google employees boycotting, you know, the research to use their mapping systems for weapons guidance systems.
So, all right, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when it gets down to particularly approaching people who want to encourage creativity in other people. And I wonder, you know, educators primarily, but also bosses and anybody else who's in a position to influence the work of somebody else, how do you encourage people to be creative if they don't believe they're creative? And especially if they come out of a house where they've been told a lot, they're not.
Yeah. I think it's you have to start early, for one. And I think we all can recognize that most of our elementary school age kids don't yet know or haven't been told that they're not creative. You know, so I think it's, you know, when we start that early, and there are a lot of presentations at our conference that look at K through 12 research and setting, you know, what we can do to the curriculum to reinforce creativity. Are there strategies that we can use in the classroom? Are there particular elements of the classroom environment that make it more or less likely that creativity happens? You know, the importance of our arts programs to make sure that our students are getting not just opportunities to perform, but also some of the foundations of what will be, you know, so that they have the opportunity to go away, perhaps to a university or into, you know, their own desires to be, to perform, so that they have the historic and the basic foundations of those. So I think it starts there. But again, it's still a fairly new field of research, and we're finding out things every day. I'm you know, drawn to this idea of the growth mindset. You know, we talk about this a lot in the university, and how we can let our at the university, we talk about making sure that students know that they belong here, even though it might feel like they don't belong here. I think the same applies to creativity. You know, if someone, you know, don't let people tell you that you're not creative. Maybe you just haven't found the right outlet yet. And I'm sure there are some people, you know, shaking their heads that not everybody's creative, perhaps. But why set it up that way to begin with? You know, give people the opportunity to find something that they're interested in, that they're creative. You know, and there are many ways. If you expand the definition of creativity, you know, if you're a salesperson, maybe it's just a unique way of making a sales call or making a sales pitch or sending out, you know, emails in a different way. You know, I think it's just expanding that notion of what creativity is.
Yeah, I think what often happens is that when people, you know, are you creative? Oh, no, I can't even hold a crayon right. It's often expressed in artistic terms, but creativity, as you pointed out, is much bigger than that. Is there a particular don't miss session that if people are going to catch one, they should catch that one?
That's a great question. I have about 20 bookmarked for me, and I hope that I get a chance to go to some of these. So I'll mention a few that really caught my eye. We have a group of researchers headed by Franz Bogner from the EU, and they're going to be presenting on creativity in different European countries, looking at how the sort of multinational focus on it.
Okay, we'll have to leave it at that one. But the Creativity Conference is Friday through Sunday?
Friday through Monday, mm-hmm. August 3rd through 6th.
All right. And at Southern Oregon University, you can find it linked through our website at sou.edu as well. Dan Denai is the Director of the Division of Social Services and the organizer of the conference. Thanks so much for dropping in.
Thanks for having me.